going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN Live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Also on Game Plus Network, part of Anthem Sports Entertainment. Chris Meany here with you. Got a great show lined up, but I'll let you guys be the judge. I know that I have a great guest for sure. Joining me in just a little bit, Matthew Wiley at Wiley77, the creator of Golflandia. He's going to drop by in just a little bit. We're going to talk a lot of sports. I know he's a big sports guy, my Canadian brother. We're going to talk about the Waste Management Open. We're going to dive into the Super Bowl, get his thoughts on the game itself. Only two games on the ice. I have a couple NHL props I wanted to share with you guys. Talk a little fantasy hockey a little bit later on in the show. I know Wiley's a big NHL guy, so I want to talk to him just a little bit about the NHL, see where he thinks his Leafs are at, who he likes potentially to win the Stanley Cup. But yes, this is one of the best weekends in sports. It really is. I mean, Waste Management Open is phenomenal. It's fantastic. I see Daily Handle in the house. Let's go. He's always excited with the exclamation marks, checking out PTP. And we do appreciate all the support, Jordan Allen, that you give here on the show. And I have been to the Waste Management Open, and I had a hell of a time. It was fantastic. It was everything that I thought it would be and more. It did live up to all of the hype. I went a couple of years ago, and yeah, I was there, I think, on a Friday. A crew of us, we went for a bachelor party. We were just there for the one day. I spent most of my time on hole 16. I got there early, around 5:30 in the morning. The gates open up. There's a lot of people there. Gates open up at 7, and everybody literally just runs to hole 16. It's about a 10-minute jog or so. You're fine. If you get there and the doors open up, you're fine. I know there's a lot of people that are asking for advice on, you know, how to get there and what to do. I don't think you need to do anything crazy. If you want to get to hole 16 and you want to get there, you know, the first 2 days are obviously, I think, usually a little bit busier than the weekend. Of course, with the Super Bowl on Sunday always taking place, Waste Management Open on the tournament will finish, wrap up on Sunday. And they're both in Arizona this week, of course, with the Super Bowl being in Arizona. You don't need to do anything crazy, but if you do want to get to 16, I would suggest going there early and running with everybody else. And it's a pretty cool experience. We had a camera going. We're watching everybody run around, and it's a nice environment. It's a great place. Also, one thing I guess I do miss, if I could change a little bit, I probably would have left hole 16 a little bit earlier, maybe experienced more of the course itself. I did walk around a little bit, but man, hole 16 was just so good. It was so good. And you hear it on TV, and you hear the noise and the atmosphere, but you don't really feel it until you're there. And it does blow your mind. I've been to some other golf events, mostly, you know, in Ontario and Toronto area, Oakville, RBC Canadian Open, obviously not as intense, but you're sitting there, and I remember being in the stands in hole 16 and just looking around and hearing how noisy it was as somebody tries to drain a 6-foot putt. It really is very Happy Gilmore-esque like, and it's a great time. I encourage everybody to go check it out. It's fantastic. It really is a good time. Even good shots, the fans will boo good shots. And we did see Adam Hadwin, Canadian. You know, he had a nice shot. Everybody sang the national anthem, and then he drained like a 60-foot birdie putt. And then the guys were chucking beers on the green, and he was picking them up and chucking them himself. So it was a really good time. Mr. Roper in the house took it on the chin yesterday. Need to get back at it today. It's tough to have the back-to-back good days. That's what we want in the show, consistency. I think the biggest thing for me giving picks is try not to give too many losers in a row. We want to bounce back. And yesterday wasn't great. It was Monday was amazing. I feel like we hit maybe like 10 of 12 picks. And then yesterday, not so much. We did lose a few units in the tracker. We did get a couple things right. You know, some same game parlay stuff. Bo Horvat scored, but he was stuck on two shots. Frank Vetrano, we talked about him maybe finding the back of the net against the Blackhawks, and he did, but he only had one shot. Frank Vetrano, what's going on against the Blackhawks? Only one shot. So we'll try to bounce back here, Mr. Roper, on the show. But there are only two games on the ice, and shot props are extremely juiced. We have the Rangers up against the Canucks. I think they're in a really good spot. Maybe Philip Hedel finds the back of the net again. He's been really good lately. But we got some stuff that we can dive into a little bit later on, some Super Bowl stuff as well. I do want to, before we break and bring in Wiley, I do want to talk about LeBron here just for a second, give him some love and respect. My goodness, what he did last night passed. Look at this graphic from our guy George, just so darn sexy. You see in the Cleveland uni, the Lakers uni, and then the Heat, of course, you know, two trips to Cleveland, two stops there. 38 points last night. and now 38,390. He passed Kareem for the most points ever. And, you know, he did it in 100 fewer 50 games. And it's not like he forced it last night. I think that was the biggest thing for me watching him last night, is that LeBron still has the ability to overtake a game when he wants to. 13 for 20 from the floor, 38 points last night. Of course, his Lakers lost to the Thunder. They can't play any defense at all. But LeBron still getting it done at this age, whether you like him or not. I think you have to respect his game, don't you? The effort, the passion, the work ethic that he has, to be averaging 30 points, you know, per game at this point of his career in back-to-back years. And Nick Wright tweeted this, and I want to say that I'm not the biggest Nick Wright fan, but I do respect the work ethic that he has and the analysis and the hard, you know, research that he does when he puts into some of this stuff. So I am kind of stealing this tweet from him. He said other guys that get to 30,000 points, he said, were shells of themselves at the end. As an example, Wilt Chamberlain, 13 points per game when he got to 30K. Dirk, my guy, Nowitzki, sixth most points of all time, 7 points per game. MJ, 20 points per game. That was when he was with the Wizards. Kobe, 18 points per game on 36% shooting. Karl Malone, 13 points per game when he cracked the 35K number. And then Kareem, 10 points per game when he got to 38,000. Again, LeBron, what he is doing and all the playoff basketball that he has played as well, deep runs every single year from LeBron James. And again, still getting it done at an elite level. I'm not going to get into the debates. I think MJ still. Now, I am old enough to see both and respect both. But I will say, when I was watching MJ, you know, in the early 90s, mid 90s, I was just a young buck. I mean, a 10, 11, 12 years old through those mid 90 runs. And, you know, it's hard to appreciate the game of basketball and respect it. Like, as a kid, when Space Jam came out, it's like, oh man, MJ and all the championships. And I remember all the wins against Utah. I remember that as a kid. And my uncle was a huge Bulls fan. So I certainly watched a lot of those games with him, but you don't respect it as a kid, the game. But looking back, I mean, MJ, just the perfectness in the finals, that says a lot to me. Like, LeBron has been there, and it's one thing to be there, and longevity is certainly a big part of why he has this record now, but also keeping your body fit. The game is different. Never really taking nights off, like load management stuff. The guy's questionable every night, but never really taking nights off. And I thought LeBron really solidified his legacy when he went back to Cleveland and he won that ship when they were down 3-1. So I'm a LeBron fan. I'm not a hater. I don't understand the hate. I get it on the court, maybe a little bit selfish and whiny, but that's competitive sports. He wants to be the best. He's a little cocky. Athletes are cocky. There's a fine line, cocky, confident. We talked about Burrow. The window's always open as long as Joe Burrow is the quarterback with Cincinnati. Is that cocky? He's confident. You want to have a little bit of that swagger, and LeBron certainly has it. And all the people that were complaining about them stopping the game last night, have you never seen a record get broken before? That's what happens. You have to pay your respects, not just to LeBron, but to Kareem, the family, what he did years ago when Kareem broke the record. That's what they did. And if you don't think that they're going to stop the game when Alex Ovechkin passes Wayne Gretzky for the most goals of all time, you're kidding yourself. They're going to stop the game. They'll do something special. They already did it when he passed Howe. They stopped the game for a little bit. That will happen as well. Gretzky will be in the stands, and I do believe that will be the next milestone, the big record to be broken as well. We'll have some fun maybe later on next week, Quan. I know you had a couple as well. Just like, what's the next big record to be broken? You know, starting games by a quarterback or Cal Ripken, some things like that we can get into, have some fun on the show. But I've rambled on too long here off the hop. We got to bring in Matthew Wiley, so we'll break. Hang tight a couple minutes. We'll get into Waste Management Open, some Super Bowl stuff, and I want to chat a little hockey with Wiley as well. Keep her locked. Let's get to here on Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. You're watching Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, as well as our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here as we bring in Matthew Wiley, Wiley77 on the Twitter machine, creator of Golflandia. It's been a minute, Wiley. Appreciate you taking the time. It's a busy week in sports, Waste Management Open, Super Bowl. And what I really want to talk to you about is hockey, because I know you're a big hockey guy, so maybe we'll save that in just a little bit. Actually, I want to ask you right off the top. LeBron last night, you know, most points ever. Ovechkin, do you think he's going to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most goals ever? Are you there? Because a lot of people still don't believe that he will, and he's really close.
I thought we were going to talk about NBA first, since I'm now a big NBA DFS player. Let's talk about that. No, of course he's going to break it, right? I mean, yeah. He's 185, yeah. So he's 38. but I think he's got about 4 years left. He needs, you know, two seasons, maybe one to do it. Yeah, that mm-hmm. made, of course. Which was, you know, as a kid, you talked about growing up in the 90s. You know, this my era was more Lemieux. I was just a little bit young for Wayne. But Wayne, if I was thinking about this last night, so you got iconic sports heroes, Messi. You've got Tom Brady, the best ever in those two sports. You got LeBron, arguably the best in NBA. And then Wayne, who essentially is untouchable, right? Maybe McDavid if he has a stellar 20-year healthy career. But the what he did was untouchable. So to think that someone would ever pass goals, like, you know, you're talking about Ovechkin top 2-3 all time.
Oh, yeah. And I know we've had some debates on different shows with Eric Young, who's a big hockey guy and, you know, a big wrestler. And we talked about like Mount Rushmore and if Ovi would be put on that. And I think, you know, if you're doing goal scores, there's no question he's on it. The game has changed so much, right? To score 800 at this level and this point with the goalies and the gear and the equipment and just how different the game has changed. I mean, I think he's definitely going to go down as the greatest goal scorer of all time, but I'm with you. Gretzky was a little, you know, in the mid 80s, is a little too young for that. But my old man was a Lemieux guy, and I think you can make the case maybe Mario is a little bit more skilled than him. And, you know, we went through a lot of adversity. Lemieux did.
I think Lemieux could have passed him if he was healthy. Mm-hmm. Lemieux was a spectacle. Lemieux to me will always be number two all time. I don't think it's going to be touchable.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay. I got a hockey clip for you a little bit later on that I know that you're going to love, and we'll share that in just a little
bit. Which one? So, the Trouba hit?
Yeah, can we just do it? Let's just do it. How about this,
dude? I didn't even set that up. Hockey. I just knew you were going there.
You knew, yeah. You knew. Quan, roll this for the people. I know everybody's seen it, but my goodness, this is nice to watch.
Here it is again. Watch his timing. Bang! Shoulder to shoulder. And Dubé goes after him. He just plays him all the way. I mean, Kadri had his head down.
You don't see that anymore, man.
You really don't. The way that Kadri hits his head on the ice at the end is a little scary, but man.
You know what? I watched that about 100 times to see if he actually bounced his head off the ice. I don't think he did. I was hoping he didn't because that's major problems if he did.
It is, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way that that helmet pops off, and I mean, you don't want to see any injuries, but you're right. You don't see that anymore. I know a lot of people give Trouba a hard time for some of his hits, and I'm not going to say that he's the cleanest hockey player out there, but right. Man, that was as clean as it can get. That was a nice, clean hit, open center. I want to ask you, though, when we don't see a lot of these hits, and when we do, we seem to see a fight after. Does it bother you at all? Like, you can't lay a clean hit anymore without somebody jumping you and dropping the gloves.
Well, I mean, that's always been the case, right? I mean, you lay out a player in the 90s, someone was going to come in after you, especially if it was a star. You know, I spend most of my nights, if I lay awake, watching old Ty Domi fights and seeing how many he didn't lose, right? And you know, credit to Dubé for getting in there and trying to fight Trouba. But Trouba, he wasn't bad. He was ready. He's ready to smash. Yeah. I mean, he's a true, you know, all-around American captain in 2023 that you don't see very often. And even Kadri, who can be kind of a prick. You know, I don't think he's beloved by a lot of players. I remember a clip with Sidney Crosby when he was with the Leafs, at least Kadri, saying, you know, they hate that scumbag. But Kadri gave him credit. He's like, yeah, clean hit. Kudos to him. Is what it is. Took it like a man.
Yeah, he really did. He took it like a man. And yeah, credit to Dubé. He dropped the gloves right away, but you're not wrong. Trouba was ready to go with him. Yeah. And it could have been a lot worse for Dylan Dubé, I would say.
Yes.
All right, dude, let's talk some Waste Management Open. Your way this weekend in Arizona. We have a top of the board. We always show this. And I know we kind of always reference, like, you know, betting the top of the board is not ideal, but it is a loaded field here. And there are some really good golfers with some good odds. But up at the top, we do have John Rahm at plus 750, Rory at 850. We got Xander at 12-1, Scotty at 12-1, Morikawa at 16-1, Tony Finau at 18, Cantlow at 18. At 22, what do you make of this list? I love the picture that George used as well, and I you know, just the hole in one from what was it, a couple of years ago, with just the atmosphere. I was pretty impressed, Wiley, how quickly they cleaned up all the beer after that hole in one.
What, the Sam Ryder one? That was last year.
Was it last year? Yeah, just phenomenal.
Yeah. The top of the board to me, I mean, this field is stacked. This is like major level, but I did, you know, I said on Twitter, this is the fifth major. They talk about the players being the fifth major. This is the people's major. And I think these players are great for showing up for this one. I did a podcast last night. So I've got this rare streak going where I've actually picked two players in a row that have won on nice. Single boards. I mean, just like, and it's complete luck box stuff, right? I don't, you know, I don't put any merit in it whatsoever, but we're going for three this week. And none of those, I can't say who it is because I need to have people listen to a podcast.
That's fair.
But however, that's fair. I will say it's none of those players at the top of the board. My second, the guy I punted out, not punted out, but I said I would love to put him first, but I'll put him a very close 1A was Ricky Fowler. That he is screaming to me this week. He won here before. He's playing a ton better. His swing is vastly different and improved. You want people, especially in this closing stretch, that have guts and are fan favorites and play to the crowd. I mean, there's another guy I put ahead of him, which I picked as the winner, but Ricky is the man. So that's where I'm going.
What do you make of some of the changes from Ricky? Is a guy that is gone through some rough patches, but as you mentioned, this place he's had some success here.
Yeah, you know, Ricky used to be, we used to talk about him being one of the best putters on earth, right? And he kind of lost that for a little bit. And so a lot of these golfers work from the greens backwards. And if they don't have the confidence on the greens, then the rest of their game collapses. But, you know, he's always been the stat people on golf will attack me for this because it'll be somewhat inaccurate. But to me, historically, he's been a pretty accurate driver of the ball. And then obviously a great scrambler, great around the green, and we know a phenomenal putter. And this course really, with all the native area and stuff going around off the fairway, you've got, of course, the stretch on the back 9, 16, 17, 18. There's a lot of trouble you can get into here. So you want to – that's why Finau doesn't historically do great. He's not really, you know, a terribly accurate driver of the ball. But Ricky, you know, I can see it.
Yeah, I was there in 2019 when he won. I wasn't there on Sunday. I was there on the Friday, and he drained a birdie putt on 16, and the crowd absolutely went just nuts. And he ate it up, right? It did seem like a really good environment for him. What are some of the statistics you're looking at when you're putting together some DFS lineups? Like,
you know what?
I've
got to stay true to my narrative, is that I have... For years, I started out doing golf with not a lot of statistics and just going on how someone's performing week to week and just what you know about them and feel. And then I got really having statistics and absolutely got destroyed. So now it's just, I look at nothing. I mean, I'm just looking
recent
at
form.
I mean, not even recent form. I mean, it's just basically, do you see a few moments from the previous week that makes you think this guy has it tuned up? Homa, you know, I think, you know, with Torrey Pines, why I liked him was pre-round, he talked about how early on the biggest advice that he learned from his coaches was that it is, do you want to go four under with four birdies or four under with seven birdies? Which one is easier to do? There's the ghost. And he's said four birdies, obviously. So he knows how to play really safe and not attack pins all the time and just get the scores when you can. They'll come to you. And I thought for Torrey Pines, which is an extraordinarily difficult course, he probably sets up well because he's one of the better iron players in the world. And, you know, this week I just feel like Ricky showed enough last week. Was it last week? Was he at Pebble? Yeah, he did okay. But he just looks a little more Ricky and composed. And, you know, arguably that's Ricky being him is one of the most highest eyeball attention seeking players on tour in terms of fans want ever. Yeah. Forever. He's iconic.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. 100% agree with that for sure. Wiley, we I got another board here. I don't know if your guy is on this board, but Quan, if you want to check it up, just some longer odds. And again, you don't got to share any secrets. I want people to check out your podcast. It's fantastic. I want people to take a listen to you. Anybody here check any boxes for you with some longer odds?
Everyone keeps screaming Tagala at me.
I know. I hear his name a lot. Player,
right? I have in my notes, which I just keep these deep course notes from tournament to tournament. I have specifically in my notes, you'll want to play Hovland, but don't. And so something told me years ago not to do it. I think largely, and that's why I'm not a huge backer of Cam Young this week. I just think that with the firmness of the greens and Tesori in 2019, Webb Simpson's caddy called him the fastest he knows of on tour. That's a quote from him. That you're going to need to have some around the green sort of hands prowess. I mean, if you look at Ollie's putt, remember that on 17, back left pin position, 2018, or I think it was, where he putted in the water. So, I think you're going to, I mean, look at just 17 in general, you know. So I'm looking for guys who can hit fairways and then have some hands around the green, which is a Ricky guy. Woodland, you know, he won. Who won here last year? Matsuyama?
Hideki, yeah. I think it was Hideki. I just had it up, the previous winners. I know Hov had that. Well, I guess it was Scotty. Scotty Scheffler. In the run that he had, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so he had minus 16. Cantlay was runner-up. Woodlands won. Hideki had back-to-back 2016, 2017. Kept his on there a couple times. But Hideki, I do remember Hovland, like, he choked, right? He had the collapse. You referenced 17. Yeah, he was on his way. It looked like he was on his way. It was a complete meltdown from for sure.
I remember when Brendan Grace did the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Where can people check out your pod?
Well, follow me on Twitter, at Wiley77, if you want to follow it. But it's Golflandia. Sometimes it's Sportlandia because, you know, now, as I said, I'm getting into the NBA streets, which is punishment. It's like if you like eating bags of glass, go into NBA DFS.
Dude, I don't know how people do it, man. I can't keep up. I can't keep up with the injuries and the rotations of certain guys. And then there's all these random blowouts that happen in the NBA. When you get into that scenario and there's blowouts, then those rotations just get crazy. So good on
you. Well, it's similar to, and I'm learning this as we go here, trial and error. There's a lot of great NBA DFS players. I'm learning not to chase the high priced, you know, must have max ceiling game players in the 11K. It's much like the NHL, right? Which is kind of my deficiency sometimes. I go ultra cheap defense, find some scrappy, you know, third line, and then slam Draisaitl and McDavid every time. So you got to be a little more balanced with your price. Sorry, Golflandia's podcast, by the way. Sorry.
Check it out. It's good stuff. I'm the same way, actually. I try to slam the punt defenseman. You know, if I can get somebody on a second power player, somebody that's going to block some shots, I like to do it that way. Dude, if you don't mind, take a quick break, 2 minutes. I want to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl, of course, as well. Just get your thoughts on who you think is going to win. And we'll talk about maybe your Maple Leafs as well on the way out. So keep her locked. A little bit more to get to here with Wiley on Mean Streets. Back in a couple. Welcome back in. Chris Mean, Matthew Wiley here, creator of Golflandia, Wiley77 on the Twitter machine. Also happening in Arizona this week, of course, the Super Bowl 57, Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles. The line at 1.5 for Philly. The total's kind of creeping up just a little bit. Wiley, 50.5. Use our prop shop parlay calculator. Get the best possible odds. See some 51s out there. The third ever matchup between the number one offense against the number one pass defense. What do you make of this matchup? Is this going to be a highly entertaining, high-scoring Super Bowl? Give me your thoughts here. What do you think, man?
Well, you know, I like to play showdown in on DraftKings, as some people know. I got obliterated this last playoff round. You know, being all in Brock Purdy and George Kittle, and then Brock Purdy having his arm fall off in the first snap. Didn't really help my cause. I want to believe, like, you know, my narrative going in was Philly is not as good as that they are believed to be. I'm not sure I can stick with that narrative, but I'm going to. I think I hate Kansas City, mind you, only because they took out my Bengals. But I probably see – I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Yeah, and I think that looking at some of the projections in terms of a fantasy perspective, I think there's some clear deals on the board for some players. And I don't know if you want me to talk about that, but there's one really standing out to me right now. It's Kadarius Toney, right? Toney was my guy in the game against the Bengals, and he went out, the first play? So I was completely wiped as soon as that started. But I think Tony's a great play, sub 20% projected if you're playing showdown. Well, I guess this is classic full slate. But, you know, I think he's a guy that Mahomes seems to go more to, and he seems like an all-around good value at that price, 4.44, I think.
Yeah, and it feels like not a ton of touches, but those touches have been like really – they've resulted in explosive plays or touchdowns, and they seem to get him involved in the red zone, like a couple end-arounds. I've seen some rushes from him year as well. Yeah, there's a lot that he can do. And, you know, if you're going to – with the Eagles, they can dial up some pressure, you know, getting the ball in Tony's hands pretty quickly. You know, MVS is going to see Darius Slay. Do you have the board, Quan, with the quarterbacks that the Eagles have faced this year? I mean, Wiley's not wrong.
Like, yeah, the best one was Dak, right? That was my theory, was the best one they played was Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And they lost to Taylor Heineke at home.
They lost to Heineke at home. They played a lot of backup quarterbacks this season. They haven't. There it is right there. Like, look at it.
Hurts
look at this
great
list.
Last week? Was Hurts great last week? I mean,
no, he wasn't. No. And he didn't need to be, but he certainly wasn't. Like, he missed a couple throws. I know he missed AJ on a deep ball. He wasn't extremely accurate. In fact, we haven't really seen Hurts great since what, week 15? Against Chicago when he suffered that injury. He didn't play week 16, didn't play 17, didn't throw the ball week 18, didn't have to throw the ball against the Giants in the divisional round, and didn't have to throw the ball last week either. And Mahomes, I mean,
he was tied. And the Niners were tied with Brock Purdy at quarterback on the road. And then it all went haywire. So I think probably Kansas City comes out with a win here. But, yeah, there you go. Look at that list.
Not a lot of good names on that.
Look at the AFC quarterbacks they played. They didn't play anybody.
No, they didn't. Kenny Pickett.
They played Trevor Lawrence. Kenny Pickett.
Trevor Lawrence earlier in the year when it was sloppy and rainy. You're right.
And Kenny Pickett.
Matt Ryan. They almost lost that game, by the way, too. That one was in Indy. I think it was Jeff Saturday's first game. I don't believe it was. I think his first game was against the Raiders. They won. But anyways, it was Matt Ryan, nonetheless. Aaron Rodgers was knocked out of that game, only played half of it. Ryan Tannehill only played a little bit of that game as well. So it will be a true test, I think, for this Eagles defense, just to see how good Wiley it actually is. But we've been asking people for a score prediction and an MVP. So I got to get that out of you as well. We're going to clip them all together, have some fun. It'll be nice to have you on that montage. Okay. So score prediction. MVP, you can go Kadarius if you want. I kind of dig it.
I don't think you could say Kadarius Toney, but that's kind of a sleepy. I would if you. I don't know what his odds are on long shots, but I would put some on him. I think Kansas City is going to win in the 28-24 range.
28-24. Mahomes is your MVP.
Probably.
Yeah.
Sneaky with Toney.
Yeah,
but I think they're pretty inspired. Thank you, Cincinnati Mayor, to get this done this year. What gutless!
I was gonna bring it up with you when you said you were a Bengals guy, but I understand your angle. Like, how do you even do that? Why even say that?
Like, you have no relevance in this game at all, except to say. Go Bengals, good luck in Kansas City, and that's it. But you insert yourself with this absolutely donkey move of creating this whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it gave the entire Chiefs roster fodder to come out and smash. And your only job is to bring in value to the Cincinnati area. You're useless otherwise.
And the New Heights podcast was pretty jokes when they were bringing that up. Jason was actually giving Travis a hard time, but he's like, listen, I don't even know what Mathers do, but I know it shouldn't be that.
It shouldn't be that.
You don't get yourself involved. And something we talked about on this show, because one
funny.
Of the viewers,
that's the part. I would have been,
I wasn't. I know. And one of the viewers said something to me like, oh, you know, the players don't hear that. They don't get motivated for that stuff. It's an AFC championship game. They're already motivated. Wrong. And I say that's wrong because immediately after the game, you saw Travis Kelce mention it. He went over to Mahomes and mentioned this isn't Burrowhead and things like that. So, I mean, your Chiefs are going to be there nonstop. It's going to be a battle between Burrow and Mahomes for years, right? It's going to be that whole 15 years from now, you know, people are talking LeBron and MJ now. They're going to be talking Burrow and Mahomes between those two, those two studs. By the way, 151, maybe worth a sprinkle for Kadarius Toney. Right? That's crazy. Get two touchdowns, man. You never know, right? Somebody's going to have to step up other than Travis Kelce, I think, to win this game. We'll get you out of here on this. The Leafs, it's nuts, man. It's February 8th, and we've known for a month, and we know the first-round matchup, just the way that the silly playoff scenarios are. It's going to be the Lightning and the Leafs yet again. I truly believe that it's going to be. On what do you think the Leafs? Do you think they do anything at the deadline? I know they were rumored for Bo Horvat. They're rumored for O'Reilly. What do you think they need? What do you think they do?
I've heard the big rumors, and I just saw one on Twitter pop up. So I don't know if something's happened. Is Chychrun, which I don't know if I love that. Timo Meier, which I would love.
That would be
and
great.
Then Dylan Larkin, which they probably need the most. And Dylan Larkin at the All-Star game said, my shining moment at the All-Star game was getting to play with Mitch Marner. And I thought, that's kind of a curious thing to say, right?
Big time.
He only has a $3 million salary base, I think. So I think the money would work. And with Matthews being out 3 weeks, they need someone with some grit. And they need someone with some energy to really sort of, you know, because they'll get dominated physically again. Guys in Canada and Ontario go to Tampa Bay like Steve Stamkos. We always thought they'd come home to Toronto and play. He's like, I'll never come back there. I mean, it's an absolute bubble. The media is insufferable, the Toronto media at least. They run players out of town all the time. And it's absolute wall-to-wall, 24/7 life. And these players can't breathe. And it puts a lot of pressure on the goalies especially. They've never found one since like an Ed Belfour who can really thrive under the pressure and perform in the playoffs. And that's it. I mean, you have to have a goalie that can just be like, fuck it. I can handle it. Because it's been so long since we've had a playoff win and forever since a Stanley Cup. So we're going to play Tampa Bay in the first round and we're going to lose 4-3.
Man, I just feel for the Leafs fans. It's just, that's it. It's in the head. It's in your head that just seen so many losses. I saw a graphic the other day. It said the playoff wins since the lockout. Leafs, zero. Kraken, zero. Everybody else has one.
I would Kraken love been in the league for 2 years. Truba-type guy. Maybe Chychrun can fill that role a little bit. But just goes around and bodies people and create – I hate Marchand, but – he creates a different energy. So does Pastrnak. Absolutely. That's why Boston's culture is good. Chara used to do it. Leafs haven't had that guy since like a Wendell Clark or Gilmore or even a Domi.
Right.
I think Wayne Simmons tries to fill the role. He does well, but he's not a skilled enough player to play shift to shift. They need a bruiser. Yeah.
He doesn't have the foot speed. No. And I agree. And that's one thing I noticed when the Habs played the Leafs is that the Leafs had way more talent than Montreal. They dominated most of those games. The difference was goaltending, but also I felt like the Leafs got pushed around a little bit.
Yes.
Like Weber and Sherratt, they just bullied Matthews and Marner. They bullied them, literally.
Look at when the Flyers, was it Konecki or Caddy's
preference? Oh, yeah.
Konecki, when he went after Auston Matthews and essentially no one did anything. Can you imagine someone cross-checking like your star player? What would happen in 2000? Yeah. What would Ty Domi do to you?
Yeah, he'd just screw you. You would never cross-check Matthews again.
You wouldn't think of doing it, especially a guy that size. No. And those guys, they're just a different generation. They don't have that same sort of anger that we grew up with.
Yeah.
But they need someone with grit.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it off the top with you, right? With Jacob Trouba, right? You lay that hit out, and who would step up for Matthews. If Matthews got crushed like that, I don't know. I like what Bunting brings. He's like a little miniature Zach Hyman, and Hyman's having such a terrific season with the Oilers, but I agree with you. They need somebody inside that top six that can go in there and throw the body around, willing to drop the gloves, and also a defenseman. I don't think Chychrun's that guy. I think he brings a lot of offensive fire. He would bring a lot of offensive firepower to the Leafs. You know, he'd probably quarterback that number one power play, but they need somebody physical who can get in there and get Kucherov off his game, make Braden Point feel a hit in the corner and things like that. But man, I could talk hockey with you all day, dude.
Yeah, but I'll give you one more example. Like, I was watching Ty Domi highlights from Winnipeg, and he would scream from the bench, "If you touch Phil Housley, I'm going to kill you." Yeah, that's the kind of guy. Like I don't. Tom Wilson has some dirty hits. But
sure,
no one's messing with Tom Wilson, and he's a top six forward.
Right. Yeah, and the same thing with Ovechkin. Ovechkin can hold his own.
Yeah.
But Tom Wilson will be after you the minute that you take a cheap shot. You never see those cross checks to the ribs on other superstar players. You don't. Jamie Benn did it too, right? A couple weeks ago, or it was like a couple months ago, to Matthews. You give him like two cross checks in the back of the underneath, and it kills. I play beer league hockey, and I get those cross checks. Yeah. And this is like little tiny cross checks. These are vicious NHL cross checks to the ribs, and nobody's stepping up.
Ben's a perfect example. Tough as hell, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to mess with Ovechkin on my best day ever.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all. Appreciate you, dude. Wiley77, creator of Golflandia. Check out the podcast. Get his number one guy. I'm going to listen after and see who you're see who your number one guy is. I'm excited. Good luck with all your plays. Good luck with all your picks. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the golf. And good luck to your lease, man. They can make a run. Appreciate you, dude. We'll say goodbye to Wiley right now. Give him a follow, Wiley77. More football, more hockey talk here to round out Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. Cheers.
See ya.
Welcome back in. We went a little long there, but Wiley's fantastic. Had to chop it up with him. Just some comments here. Daily Handle is in a total agreement, I think, with Wiley. He says Leafs are losing first round at Tampa. Lock Tampa in seven. Bet it. It's crazy. The Leaf fans have seen so much that they're defeated. They can't. There's no reason to feel like they're going to win, but at some point you got to win, don't you? I mean, they're so skilled. They're so talented. I think it does come down to goaltending. Matt Murray's got a couple cups, but he can't stay healthy. Is Samsonov good enough? He's had a good regular season run, but in the playoffs, how can you give the benefit of the doubt to either one of those goalies over Andrei Vasilevskiy? So it's tough, but I really do feel like you're going to see Kyle Dubas be extremely aggressive. I know he has been before. You know, flipping a first round pick for Nick Foligno, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, that's silliness, but super aggressive to maybe get a guy like a Dylan Larkin, which I don't think is going to be available. I mean, I don't see why he wants to lock him up. He's going to be stubborn. I don't think he's going to flip him. He's going to do what he can, I think, to keep the captain in town. But man, that would be a good get. Ryan O'Reilly would be a good get. Some playoff experience. He doesn't bring that toughness, but he brings the leadership. He's won a cup. He's been through a lot of moments. He's a great faceoff guy. I know they're already loaded down the middle, but think about O'Reilly maybe on the wing, which he's played a little bit before, or maybe just down the middle of three deep centers, right? So you can go toe-to-toe with a lot of teams of three deep centers. But more hockey talk in just a little bit. I wanted to bring up this Super Bowl prop with you guys. There's a lot of fun props we've talked about. You know, this one here is over at DraftKings, and it's player versus player. And I wanted to also show or share a little bit of the projections. But Quan, if you have this one, it's like Kelsey versus Dallas Goedert. It's like Devontae Smith versus, I think, Juju Smith-Schuster. And then we have MVS versus AJ Brown. There's also a rushing Miles Sanders versus Isaiah Pacheco as well. Thank you. So this is from DraftKings. So first is passing yards. Now, it's 115, whatever side you go, minus 115 Mahomes or minus 115 for Jalen Hurts. So if you decided to go with Mahomes in this particular passing prop, you know, he would have to have 55 more passing yards than Jalen Hurts. And I do believe that he will. Our projections have him for more. I think he's going to have over 300 passing yards. I think he's going to have to throw the football, as I talked about a lot on this show, screen passes. You know, I've really already hammered home, like, Pacheco and McKinnon as guys that I really like in these games. Is you look at Kansas City, 5.5 yards per screen pass, a completed pass. It was number one in the NFL, or that was number five, excuse me, in the NFL, and the Eagles 24th in terms of DVOA defense against pass catching running back. So I think we'll see a couple checkdowns, you know, a couple screen passes. Andy Reid does a great job. Mahomes does a great job. They just always nail that. Kelsey gets in there and, you know, he's blocking, and all of a sudden he, you know, releases the line of scrimmage and he is open for a little bit of a screen. They get him involved as well. So I think Mahomes will pass, will have 55 more passing yards than Jalen Hurts. I actually lean with Dallas Goedert on the other side, take the plus 38.5 at minus 115 for Goddard to keep it tight. Goddard's been involved. He's had a great season. You know, he's kind of the safety valve there for Jalen Hurts. And that's a pretty big number, a pretty big gap. We have these guys just separated by 30 receiving yards in our projections over at FTN. And then you see the wide receivers here. AJ Brown, 33.5 in favor of over MVS, and Devontae Smith, 21.5. I don't really feel like there's an edge with Devontae over Juju. And I don't feel like there's a significant edge with Miles Sanders, 15.5 over Pacheco. I'd actually maybe lean with Isaiah there, because I think we'll see Boston Scott and Jalen Hurts run around, and also Kenneth Gainwell, which we gave on the show, at 18.5 rushing yards. I like the receiving one here for AJ Brown over 33.5. Quan, do you mind sharing the wide receiver cornerback matchup tools that we have, just to give a little bit of a sneak peek of which wide receivers are going to be covered by who? And as you see, on the board, MVS is in a tough spot. MVS is going to see Darius Slay. You see the matchup rating, 100% for AJ Brown. There's some rookie corners here. I mean, Jalen Watson is a rookie corner. He's going to have his hands full with AJ Brown. McDuffie's had a really nice season, slot corner for the Chiefs. He's also a rookie here, but really good spots for AJ and Devontae. It's a young corner group. If this gets into a shootout, usually when you think shootout, you think, oh my goodness, Mahomes. You don't want to get into a shootout with Mahomes, but Jalen Hurts could toss the ball around against this young secondary for sure. And I think AJ is going to eat. I think he's going to have a good game. I do believe the game plan for Philly will be to continue to run the rock. But if Mahomes has some success, maybe we see some more passing attempts from Jalen than we've seen in the first two playoff games. But look at the matchup, MVS against Darius Slay, 19.2. This is not a good spot for MVS. We have AJ Brown projected for 74.1 receiving yards on 4.9 catches and 8.1 targets. We have MVS for 35.4 receiving yards. So it is a pretty big gap there, nearly 50 yards, just shy of 50 yards between those guys. And if we go back to the board, what was it? 33.5. That's one that I like. And then I have a lean to Mahomes over, and then Dallas Goedert covering there as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we do have an NHL prop for Mr. Roper. We're looking to bounce back here on Mean Street, so we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Hang tight. Welcome back in. So just two games on the ice tonight, so there's just really not a whole lot. But one guy that we've been going to quite a bit all season, and just in his last game we went to him as well, is Rupe Hintz of the Dallas Stars, a matchup here at home against the Minnesota Wild. So it's a bit of a tougher spot, of course, against the Wild. They're a pretty good 5-5 team. That's why we're getting plus 110, plus 112 over at FanDuel. In fact, these odds have changed just a little bit. Use our prop shop. I'm seeing plus 110 over at DraftKings. FanDuel's moved to plus 106. Bet Rivers is hanging a plus 110 as well. But, you know, really like Rupe Hintz's game. You know, this is a really good hockey player. And, you know, I like the fact that since he's been back in the lineup, his first game back in the lineup, he didn't play on that top line, but he only played 14 minutes in his first game, then 17 minutes against the Hurricanes. And then against the Devils the other night, he went back on the top line with Pavelski and with Jason Robertson, and he had 6 shots. And then his last game against the Ducks, he had 3 shots. So he's got goals in back-to-back games. He's got 9 shots over that span. And also, he's been a little bit better on home ice than on the road. In fact, the entire line for Dallas, Hintz and Robertson, since the start of last season, have been significantly better on home ice. 22 games at home this year for Rupe Hintz. He's got 15 goals, 27 points on the road. Same amount of games. 22 games. He's only got 6 goals and 20 points. So I like him tonight to find the back of the net. And I also like his shot prop at over 2.5. Another shot prop that I like in the other game is between the Canucks and the Rangers. Man, Vancouver is just a bloody mess. The Canucks are atrocious. I mean, they just traded their captain away. Defensively, they just can't bring it. They're not good. It doesn't matter who's in net for the Canucks. I assume they'll go to Spencer Martin. Nobody can keep the puck out of their net. They're among the leaders in high danger chances allowed, quality of chances too, like high danger chances in the slot where a majority of the goals happen, scoring chances, expected goals against. This is just not a strong defensive team, and they don't really have an identity right now. They got a lot of different players, moving pieces. Rick Tocchet, just new, you know, to the, he's coached before, but he's only coached for a minute with the Canucks, got his hands full. But I like Elias Pettersson. Pettersson, we talked about him last week, you know, for the hardest shot, which we nailed. And I do believe on Monday we gave a shot prop. And what was a tougher spot against the Devils? The Devils are a little bit more stingy when it comes to 5-on-5 play than the Rangers, right? He's going to have a tough matchup against Igor Shesterkin, and there's no question about it. But Elias Pettersson, it's a little bit juiced at minus 140, 2.5 shots. So I'm going to take the over there when it comes to Elias Pettersson. And maybe you can just parlay those two guys. Like, those are the two that I like. The other one, if there's a third, would be Jason Robertson. But I think, you know, you can have some fun with maybe some of these Ranger guys. You know, point props are pretty juiced. Like Chris Kreider at minus 155 is not something that's really worth your time. I think Philip Hedl potentially worth your time at minus 120. He's on a heck of a streak right now, scoring some goals left, right, and center. Just continue to ride this out with him. He's getting some softer matchups, and the Canucks are so leaky that he could find the back of the net. But also maybe some assist props here as well. Chris Kreider, plus 165 for an assist tonight. Mika Zibanejad is minus 105 for an assist as well. The Canucks play to a lot of overs, and the majority of the overs hit because they're so leaky defensively. So maybe consider some other guys on what is a small night in the NHL, and some of these shot props are a juice as well. So Hintz, over 2.5. Pettersson, over 2.5. Robertson, over 3.5. Hedl and Hintz to score. Hedl for a point, decent odds for a point. And then I like Chris Kreider to get an assist as well. We have one more segment, just a quick one. I want to tee up a couple shows happening tomorrow on our FTN Network YouTube page. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Spencer Martin is getting the start. Spencer Martin, an .875 save percentage, a 3.94 goals against average. 8 straight games, he's allowed 3-plus goals. 5-plus goals in 4 of those games, and just allowed 6 in his last game. In fact, 22 of his 27 appearances of the season, 3-plus goals, and at least 3 goals in 15 of his last 16. And again, guys, a lot of those games have been 4-plus goals, but 3 is just... and it's not all on him. Again, it is the Canucks. Tomorrow, NBA trade deadline show is happening at roughly 2 Eastern. The guys are going to be with you up until trade deadline, and then afterwards, because trades will filter through. And then the big game show, Super Bowl 57, myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Benny Ricciardi, Taylor Mathis. We're going to have Mike Randall there as well. And as you see, 7 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have some pop props, picks, some fun stuff. We'll be with you through about an hour or so, given our favorite plays. We'd love for you guys to hang out as well. So make sure you're subscribed to our FTN Network YouTube page. Good luck on the ice. Good luck with all your golf picks. I like Hideki, 2-time winner, and he was a runner-up not too long ago as well. I think Hideki wins the Waste Management Open. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Cheers.